Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that thinks that any movie that starts with a Wings game should be an automatic Oscar contender, it's SIFPOP. Welcome to SIFPOP Weekly, streaming live most Fridays, are available to download later in your podcast feed. Unless, of course, you're a patron.
Patrons get perks.
Patrons get those perks.
Woo!
I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and his podcast origin story also started at a grade school talent show. It's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
Ahoy!
Each week, we will chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. How's it going, man?
It's going good. Thank you for the audience doesn't know this, obviously, but thank you for starting the podcast a little bit later because I had a mother-son day.
Oh, nice.
Which was, we went and got some Indian food, which is another bonus of why we're not live on YouTube right now because nobody can see how sweaty and gross I am after eating all that curry.
What was that movie? It was Stiller. Wasn't it Ben Stiller and Aniston? Where he ate all the Indian food.
Was that, not 10 things or something about Mary? Is that what
I don't
it
think
is?
So.
No. Oh, I know what one you're talking about now where they're dating and
Along Came Polly. Yeah.
Along Came Polly.
Yeah. That's what immediately came to my mind was you just pulling an Along Came Polly and just in, you know, major discomfort. And it's like,
yeah.
You do what you need to do, man. You don't need to worry about me.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It is still the summer and there are still movies coming out. Another big movie on the Summer Some Game releasing this weekend, Despicable Me 4. We'll talk about it. Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. Pop it on Netflix. We'll talk about that as well. And talk about Eddie Murphy movies for our best ever challenge. Of course, do some Buried Treasure too. We'll do our weekly check-in on the Summer Some Game, see how things are shaping up over there. Not a ton of new stories to tell in that regard. Maybe after this weekend, there will be with Despicable Me coming out, and we'll see how that does. But for right now, it's still just Inside Out 2 and then everybody else. Inside Out 2 will cross $500 million domestically this weekend.
That's crazy.
And that is absolutely wild. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes and Bad Boys Ride or Die are fighting for second place. And then If is the only other movie over $100 million at the box office so far this summer. Garfield movie about to pass The Fall Guy. Pop that down to sixth. And Furiosa is A Quiet Place Day One will eventually pass Furiosa as well. I don't know that Furiosa is going to be in the top 10. Andrew, it's going to be close because if a quiet place day one passes it, which it's going to, Deadpool and Wolverine is going to pass it, and Despicable Me 4 is certainly going to pass it. That already puts it in 10th, and then it just takes something like Twisters or even the M. Night movie or whatever. Like it just could be anything that sends it down outside of the top 10. So. Lots of story to be told, but it probably won't be Borderlands.
Fine, Aaron. Fine.
I didn't mention that for any specific reason. That's just what came to mind.
I'm looking at my list right now, and I have Despicable Me 4 in 10th place, and that's not going to be... That's not gonna be right.
I was trying to find the ChatGPT picks, and it doesn't look like they're in there. We may have to fix that.
I got ChatGPTs right here. They have Despicable Me 4 in second place.
Well, what are they? Are they on the website, on the leaderboard, or you just have them in front of you? Mm-hmm. Oh, what are they called? Is it just called ChatGPT? Oh, yep. There it is. Yeah, 29 points. Well, I didn't see.
Yep, tied with me. I'm tied with the robot, Aaron.
I think the robot's going to beat you, Andrew. That's wild. Let's see. But, the robot had Furiosa too high, just like the rest of us. The robot had the bike riders. That's not going to happen. And Kraven the
Hunter. Yeah,
so you don't have much to worry about. But some of those might be pretty close from ChatGPT this year. But it's going to be interesting. We'll see how it all shakes down. We've only got a couple months left. And, Deadpool comes out the end
of... Until the end of August, right?
Yeah, Deadpool comes out the end of this month. And then that'll be the final race to the end of the competition to see if Deadpool, how high it can climb once it comes out. It's going to be interesting. So I'm excited to see how everything shakes out. But again, if you want to check that out, go to the website, sifpop.com, click on Summer Sum Game, and it should take you right there. Let's not dilly-dally any longer. Let's talk about some movies. Let's kick it off with Despicable Me 4.
Some of you may be wondering why you're here. We need volunteers. Nice work, gentlemen. You will be the first to test our super serum, designed to transform you into cutting-edge agents. Or you might just explode.
Gru and Lucy and their girls, Margot, Edith, and Agnes, welcome a new member to the Gru family, Gru Jr., who is intent on tormenting his dad. Gru faces a new nemesis in Maxime Lamal, and his femme fatale girlfriend, Valentina, and the family is forced to go on the run. Despicable Me 4 is the fourth movie, believe it or not, in the Despicable Me run of movies. However, it is the fifth movie, if you count Minions. The Minions. What did you think about Despicable Me 4? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
I'm going to go with just okay.
Just okay from... Mr. Ormsby, I'm going to go with the high side of didn't like it. So that's where I ended up. So since you loved this movie, why don't you kick us off?
It's true. Number one movie of the year. there is something charming and heartwarming about this world, whether it be the minions themselves or Gru or Agnes and the rest of the kids. There's just an endearing quality to these movies. And I think that that can't be overlooked. Now, not to get into negatives right now, but if you're looking for anything groundbreaking or new from the franchise in this one, I think you'll be sorely let down. But if you're just coming back to enjoy the creature comforts that you've come to expect from these Minion and Despicable Me movies, then I think that if not you, then your children will surely have a good time with this movie.
Yeah, I don't doubt that kids are going to enjoy this movie. I mean, they certainly were at the showing I went to. The kids were having a good time. Same. And it is, I think you're absolutely dead on in that it's doing what you think this movie's going to do. It's another Despicable Me movie. It's not trying to break any new ground or do anything completely different. It is just trying to, do the pratfalls and the minions jokes and, add another big villain to the villain lineup. And it does all of those things. It just, it does them the same as every movie before it has. I guess it tries to break some ground with the father-son, kind of thing with the baby. Like fathers connecting to babies, but that just feels to me tacked on. And also we've Hollywood is not short of movies that tell tales about fathers and sons. So it didn't feel like we were breaking any new ground there either. So I think you're right. If there's anything to love about this, it's just that it's funny in the way that the other movies are funny. And if that's not growing old for you, then welcome to another good time. It's going to be a good time. If it is growing old for you, like it is for me, then it gets a little bit annoying. You start rolling your eyes a little bit more each consecutive movie. And just so we don't get any emails or letters or notes via carrier pigeon, there are indeed six movies in this universe because there are two Minions movies and four Despicable movies now. So, it's too many.
We are inundated with Minions.
I want to talk a little bit about Will Ferrell stepping in with his performance, because he's doing something different here. He's doing an accent I don't know that I've ever heard him do before.
I don't think anybody's heard this accent before.
Playing a Frenchman. And yeah. I kind of hate it. I get that he's trying to have fun, but at the same time, he loses so much of the key ways he has learned how to be funny in an English accent. It just doesn't seem like it translates to his French accent. So it's a total, and that's fine. It's a voice performance, and I never begrudge an actor to do like an acting voice performance. I just feel like it steals a lot of his superpowers from him to throw that French accent on there. Did you feel that at all while watching it?
It was definitely noticeable, but I just chalked it up to what I saw from the rest of the movie. I was like, okay, that's another thing that doesn't quite work, but I'll allow it because I'm not the target audience for this movie. That was my main mentality while I was watching this movie. This is not meant for me. It's not meant for me. So it's hard for me to come away and say that I didn't like this movie when I'm not the demographic.
Yeah. Yeah. As far as any other positives to say about it, the animation is top notch here. You know, the animation in these movies is always great. It knows what it does. They've got that down, and I think it's really good here. They're doing some stuff with the minions becoming like the Fantastic Five in some ways that is cool to look at, if nothing else. I enjoyed a lot of those visual gags and, you know, those kind of things. So those are some positive things about it. What about you?
My big negative for the movie is I think there's too much going on in this film. I think that it tries to do too many things, whether it be the villain story arc, the young girl neighbor story arc, the, like you said, the Fantastic Five of the Minions story arc. There's just way too many things going on here that it doesn't have the ability to just sink its teeth into one narrative and say, this is what you can take away from this movie. Nothing is really given enough time to, there's not enough time to appreciate anything that's really going on in this movie because it's so interested in trying to tell so many different stories.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it is just kind of, it's one of the hard things about making these animated sequels. You look at movies like, you know, Madagascar, you know, the penguins, you look at Ice Age, the Ice Age movies, and it's hard because you add these side characters that everybody wants to see again, and then every new character you add feels like there has to be a place for them in the next movie. And so your movie can do one of a few things. It can add a bunch of cameos for those players, or it can add B and C plots to give them something to do. And this movie does both of those things, and it just, again, makes the movie feel not cohesive and forced, and like it's just trying to stretch to its 90 minutes. It's just you come so far. Like, you look at the original Despicable Me movie, and it's not in my greatest movies of all time movies, but it's a really good movie. Like, it's, you know, it has a really interesting thing to say about what does it mean to be a villain. You know, is a villain about the actions you do? Is it about the heart you have? And it understands where it's taking its main character. From then on, these movies haven't been about story first. They've been about, you know, we got to give these characters some more wacky stuff to do first. And the story has been forced in, like the, you know, the father baby stuff, you know, that stuff has been forced into it. And it just, you know, it just feels forced into it. So this is not an uncommon problem. And again, not something I think they care about, because at the end of the day, if the kids are going to laugh, then the families are probably going to go. So in the Ice Age movies have proved that out. You thought they were done after three. There's been five of them or whatever. And those last two made a ton of money overseas. People just go to see these movies. So, and I'm sure this one will perform well too. So yeah, for me, selfishly, it's a rough experience, but I totally get what they're doing.
I think if there's one story arc that I think they should have focused on, it would be the finding one's place in the world after you have to start over, and how that can be scary and terrifying, but also exciting. You know, whenever spoilers Gru and the family have to go into Witsec or something close to it, you know, starting over, it can be, you know, I've had to do that before in my life, where, you know, you have to start over from scratch and stuff like that. And it's scary, but also it gives you the opportunities to reinvent yourself to who you always wanted to be. And I think that if the movie had focused on that storyline, like if it had centered on that, I think this would have been a much, much better movie. Now, this is just another case of, why didn't they do this with the movie, and why didn't they make the movie that I wanted to
see? Sure,
But at the same time, I think that looking at the finished product here, there was just way too much going on for me.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we can do our one last things. What is your one last thing about Despicable Me 4?
No technical post-credit scene, but like all the other Despicable Me movies, you can watch minions doing minion things during the
credits.
This
is true. This is true. My one last thing is I did look up the early box office results, and it looks like Despicable Me over the three-day weekend will be at $64.4 million domestically, but over the 5 days, because again, with the 4th of July, it started had a full Wednesday. I think it even had Tuesday night previews in a full Wednesday. Should come in at 112. So that is tracking close to Inside Out. I mean, technically, if that's the weekend total, that's bigger than Inside Out's weekend total. But it's a 5 day, so it's still a little too early to tell. But Inside Out is only down 30% again this week. We'll have another 31 million over this 3 day weekend. So like these 3 days, Inside Out 2's fourth weekend and Despicable Me's first weekend, 64.4 to 31.2, almost exactly 50%, and it came out 4 weeks ago. So that's looking like Inside Out 2 is going to be Despicable Me. So we'll see where it all ends up eventually.
Well, good. It's a much better movie.
I agree. I do agree. Let's go on to the next one, which made $0 at the box office this weekend, but maybe got people's attention on Netflix. We shall see. Beverly Hills Cop Axel F.
Jane.
Hey, this is your father.
Before you hang up, I'm in town.
I've been arrested. Hello?
You sure y'all paying y'all's bills? Because this phone don't work.
This isn't my first time in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I saw that. 84, 87, and then 94.
But this place has changed a bit.
What brings you back to 90210?
40 years after his unforgettable first case in Beverly Hills, Detroit cop Axel Foley returns to do what he does best: solve crimes and cause chaos. It is indeed 40 years after the original Beverly Hills. Of course, there are some sequels. There are two sequels to the original movie, but it has been, I think, 20 years since the latest of those movies, or about that. Andrew, did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay? And before you say that, what would you say for the original as well?
I am not up on the whole... I mean, I like the original Beverly Hills Cop, don't get me wrong, but I am not a huge fan of this franchise or anything. I looked it up real quick. This is the fourth movie in the Beverly Hills Cop franchise. The last one came out in 1994, so it's been a hot minute since...
That's what I said, 20... Oh, no, 30 years. That's 30 years ago, not 20 years ago, yeah.
Yes. I'm going to go with, okay, Same place I was with Despicable Me. Just okay.
I am going to go with liked it, which nice. I think may be a little bit of a rare opinion. I really haven't looked. I could be wrong. I can imagine that this feels a little bit too much play the hits for some people. But they're hits that I really enjoy, I guess. I really only come to the Beverly Hills Cop movies recently, and I think that gives them a little bit of extra oomph for me because they don't really make comedies like this anymore, you know, like where it's a like a buddy cop, you know, kind of thing that's rated R, that feels like, you know, it centers around this charismatic, you know, person. Oh wait, that's Bad Boys Ride or Die. Never mind. So.
Well, if you think about it, Eddie Murphy is his own genre yeah. of film. Yeah. So he is such a unique character that a lot of people rightly love. I'm not talking about just Axel Foley. I'm talking about Eddie Murphy as a whole. All of his film franchises just seem so fresh and unique compared to everything else that is in the comedy world.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's the big thing that you're going to take away enjoying about this film in particular, is just, it's a good time hanging out with Eddie Murphy. You know, it's just fun.
It is a good time hanging out with Eddie Murphy. And it also does something. I'm going to compare the two movies that we're reviewing this week. It also does what Despicable Me 4 is trying to do in a much better way, which is that it adds this dynamic between him and his daughter. We're dealing with parent and child again, mm-hmm. but it weaves it into the story in a much more complex and interesting way, in my opinion. It gives us another character that has relationship history with his daughter. It relates their professions and what they do and how their lives were impacted with each other. It gives us an understanding of where our character starts, where he changes, why he changes, and where he ends. It does all that stuff really, really well. It's just kind of a solid movie in that respect. And then you add in that he's a funny guy. He's, you know, seems like he's having a good time, and it's hitting some of the beats that I like from the original Beverly Hills. That whole opening montage in Detroit is so similar to the opening montage in the original Beverly Hills, right down to a highway chase.
Red Wings.
Well, right down, I was going to say, to a highway chase in a, you know, a runaway giant vehicle, you know, kind of stuff. That's all in the first one. You know, we get Taggart back. We get Judge Reinhold back. We get Bronson Pinchot for a little bit. We even get Paul Reiser, who was in the original Beverly Hills Cop for like 5 seconds and now yeah. is back in this one for just a little bit. Little bit more, maybe. All that stuff works for me. You know, it just kind of, it feels like they knew the right notes to hit. Speaking of which, of course, the famous song is there.
Oh, it's so good,
and it works so well for those moments. And every time it kicks in, you know that Axel's about to do something crazy. And it's just, it's really, really fun. I don't know if everybody would agree with this. I think Joseph Gordon-Levitt is great in this movie. I love him so much. And this comes from recently thinking he felt out of place in a couple movies that I've seen him in recently. And this is the kind of role that I think works for him, because the character he's playing matches his kind of aw shucks, you know, middle, you know, straight lace down the line, touchy feely, hug it out, you know, kind of smile and demeanor, right? And I just think he really works here as a great comparison to the chaos of Axel Foley. You know, he is the control to the chaos, and man, I thought that worked really well. The movie's not perfect, and we'll talk about some of the flaws, but I just had a really good time with it. I have to say I liked it, because I had a good time hanging out with these characters and kind of going through another story with them. So those are some of my thoughts. What about you?
Sticking with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I liked him as the straight-laced guy, like you were saying, but when it came time for the comedic hits, like going tit for tat with Eddie Murphy and, you know, going back and forth with the dialogue, that's where I think he kind of struggled a little bit for me. But overall, I think he did a good enough job. Maybe it's just maybe you have to be on Eddie Murphy's level for that timing and that comedic.
Who is on Eddie Murphy's level? You know what I mean? Like who's keeping up with him? I think you just kind of have to be your own person and do your own thing.
That's fair.
But yeah. Yeah.
I will say the dynamics between him and Taylor Page, Eddie Murphy and Taylor Page, were great. All the father-daughter stuff, I think, really worked.
Yeah, I agree. It really felt like she was his daughter, you know, the way she interacted with him. And even when she would play along, you know, he was like, oh, I see, got some Foley DNA there.
See, that's exactly what I was about to say. She Saunders when she needs to be Saunders, but it feels like Saunders is a role that she's putting mm-hmm. on, as opposed to whenever you see her in the moments where she's like Axel Foley and she's, you know, playing a character or something, like, oh, this is where the real Jane is coming out. Like, this is the real person that she's been, you know, trying to hide away for so long. But they do have some real moments where they're going back and forth talking about responsibilities of a parent and responsibilities of a child. And I'm just sitting there going, yeah, I was not expecting, you know, to hear this kind of message in a Beverly Hills Cop movie, but I'm here for it because it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I loved the, when they go to the impound lot and they,
yes, yes.
And there were a couple other, you know, fun moments too, but that to me is kind of the prime example of what works in this movie and what works in their relationship. And, it's really good stuff. What else?
You want to talk about Kevin Bacon?
We can. I don't feel like there's much to say. It's about the most nothing villain performance I've ever seen. Like,
that's what I was going to say. It's very lackluster and mustache twirly evilness that I've seen in a long time. I don't need the movie to, you know, get me with a huge twist of, oh, Kevin Bacon's the villain.
And it doesn't try at all. I mean,
that's what, yeah, it doesn't try at all. It is from the word go. He is just snidely whiplashing it all over the screen. And I'm like, how is nobody else seeing this? He's not hiding it at all. But, it was fine, I guess. How you said you just came to the Beverly Hills Cop franchise recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you've seen all the movies, I take it.
Yes, then. I've seen all three of the original movies within the past few years.
Because I have not seen the third one.
Mm-hmm. Is the third one the amusement park?
I don't know.
There's a moment in this movie. Well, but if you've seen the others, and one of the others is the amusement park.
That's true.
There's a moment in this movie where Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, Abbott, I think is the detective's name, something like that.
Yep, Bobby Abbott.
He has Axel's file, and the file is basically the other three movies, right? And he mentions the years, which are the years of release of the movies. Like, oh, he did this in 84 and 88 and 94 or whatever he says. He's like, and then he's like, 88, you had, you know, this big thing you did in 84. And he's like, man, 94 wasn't your finest moment, was it? Because everybody hated the third movie or really? Whatever. So it's kind of like this meta commentary.
I like that when movies can take, you know, a stab at themselves and be like, yeah, we didn't knock that one out of the park and we'll own it.
But I actually kind of like the Beverly Hills Cop 3. It's if that's the amusement park one, which I think it is. Yeah. That's the Wonder World one. It's dumb. It's really kind of dumb, but it just, these movies work for me. I don't know. Like, they don't have to be. I think it's just Eddie Murphy works for this character so well. And I'm not going to lie, I don't know how much psychological weight my brain gives to the fact that he's a Lions fan and a Red Wings fan and a, you know, from Detroit. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that works. It's possible that I just like it because he wears a Lions jacket all the time. I don't know. But I just have fun with this character. And I think it just, the idea of like hard scale cop from Detroit comes to, you know,
Beverly
lip
Hills.
Injection capital of the world. You know what I mean? Like, nothing's real, you know, from gritty and authentic to fake and, you know, inauthentic. And there's just something about that, that is interesting to me. So I've just enjoyed them all. And that includes this one. Any final thoughts on Beverly Hills Cop? Axel F.
I don't think this film really adds anything to the... Well, I take that back. I think the father-daughter stuff is enough for me to say that there's something fresh and unique here. But as far as one last thing, there's no post-credit scene. I'd be down to see more.
It's interesting.
I'd be down to see more, but you can definitely tell Eddie Murphy is getting older.
Sure.
Because he doesn't have the action scenes anymore. And if he does, he's sitting down like in a car.
Yeah.
But the film is entertaining and it's good seeing like Judge Reinhold again, which he was my favorite part of the original one because he was, you know, the cop from Beverly Hills, but he was slowly becoming Axel Foley.
He wants the guns and the shootouts and
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that will bring me to my one last thing, which is there's a lot of gun violence in these movies. And I don't know. I know it's, you know, there's actually a really interesting transition that has happened in these movies in regards to the idea of the police force. You could even look at the original Beverly Hills Cop movies as a little bit propaganda, right? Like the idea of, I think the whole, not the whole point, one of the major points of the first movie is for these Beverly Hills Cop to quit doing it by the book and, you know, break the laws a little bit to get the guys they need to get. Well, that's a terrible message. Yeah. Like, that is such a terrible message. And I think this one is the opposite of that. Like, I think it's changed. In fact, the Joseph Gordon-Levitt character is teaching Eddie Murphy some things about, you know, why it's good to go by the book or, you know, do things. But he's still Axel F. And there's just, you know, there's this still... element of stretching the rules to get done what you need to get done. So, you know, there's always that element of this that I just kind of like, I don't, you know, like that. But I totally get it, and it's not going to, you know, keep me from having a good time.
I'd be interested to either read or write a little bit of an essay on why people find propaganda movies like this or Lethal Weapon movies so entertaining when the message for them is so bad.
Well, I think we can get into it just a little bit now, but I don't think it's a surprise that it's aspirational. The idea is that we want people with badges to be good people. And if they're good people, then them breaking the rules a little bit is okay because their heart's in the right place and they're going to do the right thing. The problem is we're all just people and we're all corruptible and we're, you know, and so that's why the rules exist because, you know, it's not like the good people get to break the rules. That also means the bad people do. And that's when bad things happen. And who of us is actually really 100% good and who of us is 100% bad? And, you know, so it's like, you know, in the movie world, we like it because we want to believe that those in police work or those in the military, let's say, or whatever, have hearts of gold. And if they go a little vigilante, let's just talk about Batman. If they go a little vigilante, it's okay because we trust their motives. You know what I mean? And that's just not how the real world works. There's too many other factors at play. So that would be my quick unrehearsed take on why we enjoy that so much.
No, that's fine. You wrote my article for me, so thank you.
You're welcome. That is Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. That is on Netflix if you want to check that out. Before we head into our best ever challenge, a big thank you to our SIFPOP members. We really do appreciate you. If you're curious about that, you want to check it out, go to Patreon, patreon.com/SIFPOP. Support starts at $3 a month. Some fun perks there, including the entire back library of our extra shows that we've done over the years for our members. So you can check that out again at patreon.com/SIFPOP.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, it is time for the best ever challenge. We're doing best ever Eddie Murphy movies. I tried to look back and see if we'd done this before, and I couldn't find us ever having done this before. So we'll go ahead and do it now. These, of course, are best ever movies that Eddie Murphy is in. And I will let you know right now, I have a giant stretch for one of my choices, but I'm admitting it now, but I think it counts. We will go number five to number one. And if you have it higher, make sure.
Trump!
But you let me know so that we can wait and do it at its highest mark. We will be doing Trump rules. All right. Andrew, why don't you kick us off? What is your number five?
I'm going to go with Shrek 2.
My number five is Shrek, so let's talk about them together.
Nice.
You like Shrek 2 more than Shrek, huh?
I do. I do like Shrek 2. Right. I think that Puss in Boots is a hilarious character, and I think that Julie Andrews is just stellar in this. And that's not even talking about like Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, Cameron Diaz, the core three there. There's just so much going on here of like finding out how you're worthy, you know, and you're worthy just as you are, you know. You don't have to change yourself or hide behind a mask, so to say. The music's great. It's super funny. The visual effects hold up still, even for a movie that came out all the way back in 2004. Yeah, I absolutely love Shrek 2. But you like Shrek 1 more.
I do. It's kind of what we talked about, like with the Despicable Me. I just think the first one's the purest movie. I just think it really has something to say about what it's doing with subverting fairy tales and the idea of the ogre and what if the ogre has a good heart. And that stuff all really works for me. And I think the sequels get more and more convoluted as it adds more and more characters and tries to figure out how to do more and more things. So, but yeah, so I like the first one, the best, and enough to put on my list. There we go. Those are our number fives. What's your number four?
Number four, I'm going to go with Mulan.
Okie dokie.
Trump!
My number four is Beverly Hills Cop.
Nice.
So I already talked quite a bit about it in the review itself and why I enjoy it. So I don't feel the need to go into too much more detail. So I won't. That is my number four. And so that brings us to our number threes. What's your number three?
It's a movie written by Steve Martin, directed by Frank Oz. Stars Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, Heather Graham, and the rest of Hollywood. I'm going to go with Bowfinger.
Great choice. In my honorable mentions, I'm glad this is on your list.
I love this movie. It is so original. The entire cast of Hollywood is in this movie. You got Robert Downey Jr., Kristen Baranski, Jamie Kennedy. It's just a fun movie about trying to get a movie made. You know, and doing whatever it takes to get a movie made. I think that Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy together is just chemistry. You were talking about earlier about who could keep up with Eddie Murphy whenever Eddie Murphy is doing his thing. Steve Martin can keep up with Eddie Murphy whenever he's doing his Eddie Murphy thing, because the two of them together is just magic. I absolutely love this movie. I want to watch it again, like, now.
Yeah. Yeah, I should watch it again. I actually haven't watched it in a while, but I remember enjoying it quite a bit. My number three is Mulan, so we can talk about that now.
Hey,
I think Mulan is great, and I think Eddie Murphy is one of the big reasons it's great too, which is always nice. That character is so much fun, and really, really enjoy the movie and its themes and what it's doing and a lot of the music. So what about some of your thoughts on Mulan?
I was just about to say the music is just stellar. The I'll Make a Man Out of You song is like one of my favorite Disney songs. It's like my pre-workout song. It's great. And the themes are great. You know, it's just again, it's a don't be ashamed of who you know you are.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a great message and a great movie.
Oh, I agree. On to our number twos. Andrew, what do you got?
I'm going to go with Coming to America. Mm,
also in my honorable mentions. It's a good one.
Yeah. I think that Prince Akeem is just one of the greatest characters ever. But King Jaffa Jofer, James Earl Jones, is just the best. I actually even like Coming to America, too. I know a lot of people, I should say 99% of the population did not like that movie. But I had a really good time with it. I think that it's just great seeing Arsenio. They played the hits, and for some reason I was in a mood to watch the hits being played. But as far as the original Coming to America, I think Arsenio Hall is amazing. Eddie Murphy. I think this is his most endearing role. It's just fun seeing a fish out of water and with money to spend, you know.
Yep.
It's a great movie.
It is. It's a lot of fun for sure. My number two is Dreamgirls.
Haven't seen
it. Is my number two. I check it out. I mean, I know you don't like musicals, so maybe not. It is a pretty straightforward musical. Jennifer Hudson is just astonishing as Effie in this movie. And, you know, one of the biggest show-stopping numbers in musical history with I Am Telling You, and does it so well. Beyonce's in here as Dena Jones, and Eddie Murphy, of course, plays James Early. Jimmy Got Soul. And Jamie Foxx in here as Curtis Taylor. Just an incredible, incredible cast, and it is very well done. I will say the musical itself, the movie itself, drags in places for me. It kind of feels like you're waiting for the next big show-stopping song in many ways. But it's still doing some really interesting things in covering what it's covering about the Motown era and how labels, you know, worked with those artists and what they did. So yeah, check it out. It's just over 2 hours, which isn't too bad for a big musical. So yeah.
And Eddie Murphy was nominated for an Oscar for
that
this movie.
Is true. Got him his Oscar nom as well, which makes it a good reason to see it as well. What is your number one?
We may have the same number one since you said yours really stretches the category. Mm-hmm. Well, so does mine. I'm going to go with Won't You Be My Neighbor.
Yep, that's the one.
I mean, he's in it. It's literally, I think it's a split second, you know, flash in a montage. Mm-hmm. You see Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
But I'm counting
it. No, they spend a little bit of time on how Fred Rogers felt, you know, about that character. You know, about Eddie Murphy doing that. There's a little bit of attention paid to it. But yeah, it is very, very quick in the movie for sure. This is a phenomenal film. And both of the Fred Rogers movies that came out around this time are worth watching for sure.
There needs to be some like little rhyme or something to help me remember which one is the documentary and which one is the Tom Hanks movie. I know just because it's written down in front of me, Won't You Be My Neighbor is the documentary, but A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. There's got to be some little fun sing song that'll help me remember which one's which.
Man,
because I always forget.
Man, how great was Tom Hanks in A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
He was Fred Rogers.
It was so good. Both of those movies are great. You know, I wish I had a way for you to know which was which, but yeah, it is difficult. All right, before we head into our honorable mentions, what did our friends over at the Sif Pop Gurus table have to say?
Well, believe it or not, they were in the same mindset as you and I were, because coming in at number three is Won't You Be My Neighbor? Yep. And at number two, we have Shrek 2. Very fitting. Mm-hmm. And at number one, it didn't run away with it, but it was pretty darn close to running away with it. We have Mulan. Yeah,
good choices, good choices. The only one that we haven't mentioned that I want to make sure we throw out there is Trading Places. I think that's well worth checking out. Eddie Murphy is pretty incredible.
Another one on my list of shame.
Yeah, it's a good one. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention?
I mean, I could just list the entire Eddie Murphy catalog because I love everything he's done. Nutty Professor.
48 Hours.
48 Hours. Yeah. All the rest of the Shrek movies. Yeah.
There you go. Best ever Eddie Murphy movies. That's right. A documentary about Mr. Rogers coming in at number one on both of our lists of Eddie Murphy movies. That is the best ever challenge, despite some of our gurus' refusal to embrace it. That is what it is about. All right. Well, we're to the buried treasure. Let's finish it off with that one piece of pop culture that you want to make sure people know about. I'll go first. The Mole is back on Netflix.
Yes, it is.
Been watching and enjoying that. It is a really fun reality show. I think one of the things I enjoy about it is it has the human nature stuff. It has the, you know, who is sabotaging mystery kind of element to it. And it plays that as a mystery, which is fun. There's another version of this show that they don't do that tells you who the mole is. And that, I don't think that's as fun. I think it's more fun to play along and try to figure out with the contestants, like, you know, who the one doing the sabotaging is. I also like it because the people who get eliminated because they're bad at the goal of the show, not because other people who are playing gang up against them, right? Because at the end of every episode, you take a quiz, you have to answer about who you think the mole is. Was the mole in this competition? Is the mole a man? Is the mole over, you know, 6 foot tall? Or, you know, just answering these questions. And then whoever scores the worst on that goes home. And that's, I think, a really a fair way to do that. And I really, really enjoy it. So yeah, The Mole is back on Netflix. If you want to check it out, are you watching it, Andrew?
I haven't started this newest season yet, but I remember watching the quote unquote first season.
Netflix. The first new season. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really, really enjoyed it. I never saw The Mole when it originally came out back in the '90s. But this new iteration is just great. Like you said, the point of watching the show is not only to find out who the mole is, it's to find out who's going to win. So you have two things that you're, you know, anticipating for that final episode instead of just who's going to win. Mm-hmm. You're also like, who was the mole this entire time?
Yep. And just again, so we don't get letters, emails, or carrier pigeons, The Mole did premiere in 2001. So, it ran from 2001 to 2004 and then came back for another season in 2008. And then it came back on Netflix last year. So, there you go. What is your buried treasure?
Not a buried treasure per se, but I'm going to go with Jurassic Park, the movie.
Never heard of it.
The reason why I'm going with Jurassic Park is because I rewatched it recently, but I rewatched it in a theater. And I got to tell you, if you can try and get as close to a cinema scale for this film as possible, I'm talking massive screen and a killer surround sound. And if you can't do surround sound, then get some incredible headphones. I promise you, even if you've seen the movie 100 times, watching it in theaters, it will be one of the greatest cinematic experiences of your life. What I mean by that is you get to experience so many different movie genres within one film. There's drama, action, horror, comedy. People forget that this movie's funny, but Jeff Goldblum is hilarious in this movie. It has it all. It's nearly a perfect film. If it wasn't for the T-Rex Deus Ex Machina at the end of this movie, it would probably be a top 10 film for me. But alas, it's only top 20.
Jurassic Park is great. It's in my top movies as well. Currently, it doesn't appear as if it's streaming anywhere. Is that possible? So unless I'm really missing it, there's nowhere you can see it on streaming, which, you know, maybe that just forces you to have to go to a theater. I don't know. Yep. Buy the 4K and people. Set up your own theater at home. I don't know. But it is an impressive, the bigger it gets, the louder it gets, the more impressive it gets. So
I tell you that seeing, it came out in 1993 mm-hmm. originally. Yeah. I was 7 years old. Way too young to see this. It was one of the very first movies I saw in theaters, and I was just blown away. I was terrified. Getting to experience the film in theaters and seeing the initial T-Rex attack, it's one of the greatest horror scenes of any movie ever. It's just the CGI still holds up, even though it's a night shot. It looks so real. The sound was just reverberating, like the seats were shaking whenever the T-Rex would roar. And then, of course, you have the Raptor kitchen scene, mm-hmm. which is also just so good. But seeing in theaters that T-Rex scene put that in a whole new light for me, just getting to relive this yeah. movie. So that would be my buried treasure.
There you go. The buried treasure is Jurassic Park, which you must see in a theater. And The Mole, which you do not need to see in a theater. You can go ahead and watch that on Netflix. Well, we did it, Andrew. We did another Woo. Episode. Congratulations.
Proud of you.
Thank you.
Which is a Despicable Me reference.
Yes. Yes, it is, in fact. Thank you so much for joining us today for Sif Pop. It is part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other shows on the network by searching Studio DNA in your podcast player. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out again today.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, man.
Much love and gratitude to our Sif Pop members for giving monthly to make Sif Pop a real thing. Support starts at $3 a month, and you can check out all the fun stuff at patreon.com/SifPop. Lots of ways to connect with the podcast. You can leave a comment, a rating, or a review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. You can even email us. Remember, emails, feedback@SifPop.com if you want to do that. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too, so make sure you let them know about it, and that listening is much easier than getting Axel F out of your head again for the next 3 decades. We'll be back in a couple weeks, I think we're off next week, but we'll be back in a couple weeks with more, and we will see you then.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.